The gospel lesson is from Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 through 56. And I should mention that just before this lesson starts was when the angel Gabriel visited Mary. So this continues the story after the angel's visit. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy." And that was John the Baptist in her womb. "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever.' And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. During Advent, we talk about people other than Jesus who prepared the way for his coming. So the last time I preached about John the Baptist. He was a great prophet, the last of the prophets who heralded the coming of the Messiah. John's mother, Elizabeth, was an old woman, thought to be barren. The miracle was that even when she was beyond childbearing age, she was still able to get pregnant. God blessed Elizabeth with a son. Today we talk about Mary. Mary was different. She was young, too young. Not yet married, maybe 14 years old, little more than a girl. Yet God chose her for the unimaginably important task of bearing our Savior. In the verses preceding today's reading, the angel Gabriel comes and visits Mary. His words to her are the source of the first part of the Hail Mary prayer, which then continues with Elizabeth's words and then some other stuff. So I know it's a Roman Catholic prayer, but Mary is revered in all traditions, including ours. So would you pray with me? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. It's such a sweet prayer for such a sweet woman, right? Now, I read this week that the word we translate as hail in that prayer might better be translated rejoice. The angel Gabriel rejoices at meeting Mary, just as Elizabeth and her unborn son rejoice and bless her. A full of grace. That phrase evokes a kind, gentle woman graciously blessing each person she meets. But perhaps we should understand it more as an indication that God has richly blessed her. And how has God blessed her? God made her a prophet and the mother of the most important man to ever live. Listen to her proclamation to Elizabeth. This is not a hymn of submission and gentleness. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. These are not sweet words. This is a prophetic proclamation of God's power. Just a bit ago, we sang the Canticle of the Turning, which I think is the perfect setting for Mary's song. It really captures that strength and impact of her words. Mary was not some shrinking violet, some meek background character in the Gospels. She was in the middle of the action. She was trusted not only to give birth to Jesus, but also to be his first teacher. God saw a strength within her that would be essential throughout those hard years of Jesus' childhood. One thing that struck me as I prepared this week was Mary's response. In every other angelic encounter I can think of, the person being visited is terrified. That's why the angel's first words are always, "Do not fear." Zechariah was a priest, and he was the father of John the Baptist, and he was a priest in the temple, serving in the temple, when an angel appeared. And we read, he was terrified and fear overwhelmed him. On Christmas Eve, we'll hear about the shepherds. An angel of the Lord appeared and they were terrified, but not Mary. The verses about the angel visiting Mary says, Mary was perplexed. Gabriel, maybe being not so observant, still told her not to fear. He tells her what God is asking of her. Is she afraid? Well, she should be. Being an unmarried woman who gets pregnant will bring shame upon her. If Joseph so desired, he could break off their engagement, and probably, if he was really motivated, could get her stoned. Even if they marry, the shame will linger, and being the mother of such an important boy could bring dangerous attention to her, and indeed it does. Still, her response tells us why she was favored. She simply asks how it will work, and then says, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Let's see, my life is about to be torn apart, and I'm going to be in constant danger. Yeah, sure, sounds good. Let's do it. She understood what was coming. She was not just the carrier of God's words like the other prophets, but of the word of God. Her hymn of praise makes it clear that she knew who Jesus would be, Son of God, a revolutionary who would change the world. So there's a famous or maybe infamous song that's often played or sung this time of year called "Mary, Did You Know?" So I'm going to sing the second verse for us. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Okay, it's a beautiful song, beautiful words, but clearly the lyricist didn't read the Magnificat, because the answer is emphatically yes. She knew. She knew that God was doing great things in her, world-changing things. The name she was told to give her son, Jesus, or actually Yeshua in Hebrew, means "the Lord has saved." She knew that God will save her and all of us through her son. She knew that the hierarchies of power and wealth would be overturned. She knew that God's chosen people would be saved and glorified. She knew. So what did she do? Well, first she said yes. And then she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Now, I'm thinking that she and Elizabeth were not real close relations. They lived pretty far apart. Mary was betrothed to a man from the tribe of Judah, and Elizabeth was from the tribe of Levi. But they were close relations in another way. They were bound together by the abundant grace poured out on them both by God. They both experienced the miracle of pregnancy. Elizabeth in her old age, Mary in her virginal youth. So Mary went to Elizabeth in the first gathering of Jesus' followers. Why? For confirmation? Or for courage? Perhaps. Right? Mary had an encounter with the divine, and she thought she knew what God wanted of her. But maybe it was a little bit like a dream, you know, where you wake up and you think, did that really happen? Mary was sure that she was called to serve God, but maybe not quite 100% sure what was going on. She had a long road ahead of her, and she knew that Elizabeth was on a similar road. They could walk together for a bit and lean on each other. But also, Mary knew that she shared something else with Elizabeth. Joy. Joy is not the same as happiness. Happiness is kind of a surface-level emotion. Joy is deeper. Joy is that warm fire in your soul telling you that life is good. Okay, maybe it doesn't look so good right now. And maybe it's hard to see what's so good. But God's light is shining through and telling you that all will be well, and all will be well, and all manner of things will be well. This is a critical message to us this Christmas season. Things have been rough the last little while. The political climate has been increasingly divisive over the past decade and shows no signs of getting better. In fact, every news story seems to make it worse. There's a raging pandemic that has taken lives, disrupted our society, and fundamentally remade our interactions with each other. This year has seen a huge number of natural disasters, from 120-degree heat in Canada, to droughts, to floods, to tornadoes. I could go on, but let's keep the message on joy. Through all of the chaos of the world, all of the divisiveness and loss, one constant remains: God's presence. No matter how bleak things look, we can be confident that God is with us. God came among us as a baby one night 2 millennia ago because Mary said yes. Jesus is born again each December as we remember that amazing gift of his presence and his offer to enter our lives, and we say yes. God remains among us by the power of the Holy Spirit flowing in us and through us all. And just as Mary's encounter with an angel led her to visit Elizabeth, we gather together here. It's common these days for people to say they don't need a church to follow God. And that's partly true, right? God is no more present here than God is present anywhere else, right? There are people worshiping remotely with us, and God is as present with them as with us here in this sanctuary. I've encountered God on the sea and on a mountaintop. But mostly I've encountered God through other people. We gather together to share those experiences we've had, not just the mountaintop experiences, those vivid encounters with the divine, but the subtle ways God works in us and through us, the ways God is revealed each day through the people we meet and interact with. As you know, I volunteer regularly at the mission, and each time I go there, whether to volunteer for a shift or to get ready for a future shift, I can tell that God is working in the lives of the patrons and also in the lives of the staff and the volunteers. We seldom talk about religion there, but you can feel the Holy Spirit guiding each person to be a little bit better each day. As you also know, I'm a professor. And so I interact with students on a regular basis. And there's a certain energy when students are working together to learn or to solve problems. There's an openness of their minds that reveals their hearts. One of the best moments I had this semester was, it was in a help session. I was going through a derivation. And at the end, there was a look on the student's face of a sudden understanding that certainly transcended any words that I said. My office is near the Mobile on the Run station, so I frequently walk up there to get a drink. There's a woman who works there that I've developed just a little bit of a relationship with, not exactly a friendship, but more than just customer and clerk. Enough that she shares some of the struggles that her son has had, or the joy of visiting with her granddaughter who was born in November. Those moments reveal her humanity and in turn reveal the way God is working in her life and in her family's lives. We gather as Christ's body to share these experiences, just as Mary and Elizabeth gathered to share their experiences. This is a place where there's no taboo about discussing God, where we can let down the barriers that so often keep people from truly understanding one another. Our relationships with each other are stronger because God is at the center of them. We are bound together not by something superficial like a shared hobby, but by the deep and abiding love of God. Life is hard. The pandemic has made easy things hard and hard things almost impossible. It has kept people apart, disrupted relationships, and taken loved ones away from us. Even before COVID, though, for thousands of years, the people of God have struggled. We struggle to do God's will and follow the path Jesus laid out for us. We struggle to understand the evil and brokenness of the world around us. We suffer pain and loss and grief. And yet we know that one night 2,000 years ago, a young woman was called to give of herself, and because she said yes, God came to dwell among us, fully human, fully God. Jesus became the fulcrum of history, the person that changed all of our lives. With Jesus at the center of our lives together, we can know hope and love and joy and peace. Several of you have commended me for the work I do for the church, and I appreciate being noticed. However, the work that I do is no more important than what others are doing. It's just more visible. I stand up here in a pulpit and preach, and my words go out on the internet because I've been given the ability to understand God's word and to preach about it. The job of a preacher is to encounter God in Scripture on behalf of the congregation and to witness to that encounter to the congregation. But that job is no more important, for example, than the way the deacons witness to God's grace as they meet behind closed doors with people who are homebound or sick or grieving. And in fact, their witness can be even more crucial to building the kingdom of God than my words, because those moments are in heart space instead of in head space. I can perhaps convince you to think a certain way and maybe even act a certain way, but it's God's presence and creative power that softens your heart and forms you into the person that God desires. It is Jesus walking beside you who guides you through the hard times. It's the Holy Spirit dwelling within you who strengthens you and brings you joy. And it's our relationships with each other that help us to see God working in our lives. We've received a great gift, the love of God expressed through the person of Jesus, born more than 2,000 years ago because Mary said yes. Let us respond just as Mary did. God is calling us all to be witnesses to God's grace. In all that we do, let us share the hope, the love, the joy, and the peace that Jesus brings us as he is once again born in us by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen.